Got your Bible and look with me there. Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32, if you look with me there. And we'll say a few things from this chapter tonight that might be a help to you. In verse number 26, we'll just read that verse and try to cover some things in this chapter, if God be my helper, and say some things tonight that we need in this hour. In the book of Exodus, chapter 32, and we'll look at verse 26. The Bible said, "Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him." Our Father, I thank you tonight, God, it is well. I thank you, Lord, for the access we had to pray. And God, I'm nothing tonight. Lord, I want to admit that before you, and I want to admit it before this congregation. Lord, we're nothing. We can do nothing without your help. God, tonight, would you see fit in your power, in your great mercies, God, tonight. God, you're a sovereign God. God, you sent your Son in this world that he might deliver us from sin. And God, tonight I thank you, Lord, tonight for the day you met me. And I, God, got saved. God, you came to me. And I thank you for that great day. God, use me tonight to say something and help the congregation. God, reach the hearts of each one that's here. Glorify your name tonight above all. We'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. I want to try tonight to just preach a little bit about that, the Lord's side. Here is a very awful thing that happens to this camp of the Israelites. I see here in this hour that they're, my friend, not patient, not waiting on God. And you know, you can get in that same shape. You can be wondering, why hadn't God moved? Why hadn't I saw something from God? And they said, this Moses, this man of God, has went up to meet with God, he said. And we hadn't seen him, and we want a God we can see. And of course, Aaron being the was left in charge there, and I believe Hur probably was with him. They took, thank God, their earrings off, and they gave them there, and he requested that. And he took a grave and told, the Bible says in verse 4, and he made a molten calf. Amen. That molten calf, no doubt, was what they learned there in Egypt. I just want to say tonight that they learned a lot of things when they were in Egypt that was still with them. And I'm telling you tonight, you have to fight the world. You'll have to stay away from the world, or you'll find yourself tonight going the way of the world. I'll tell you tonight, that world out there's got a pull, and it's got a big pull, and it can get a man away from God as fast as anything tonight. And telling you this tonight, a lot of times when we don't see God work in our midst, and we don't see God do some things that we want God to do, a lot of times we turn aside and go after the world. Amen. That's what they done. The Bible said in the verse 8 there, he said they turned aside quickly. I mean, notice that there. They turned aside quickly out of the way. They turned apostasy. They turned idolatry. They was eating. The Bible said here that they were eating and drinking and playing. They was become, my friend, naked and going into drunkenness and practice to, my friend, lust and licentious living here and claimed it to be God and worship. And they left the path of God, left the way of God, and went after some kind of strange lust here. It looks like to me that this here is exactly what happens in churches today. They leave the old paths of God and they go after things that please the flesh, that please that lust after that they're living, my friend. And that's where we're at in this hour. Amen, preacher. There's so much lust today, so much enticement today, that that's where we're at. We live in an hour where it's hard. I ain't gotten even go to some churches and how people dress. Amen. Women come in slacks. Amen. Mini skirts. Low cut blouses. And we wonder why this day there's so much sensuality, so much sin. Well, my friend, it ought not be. Thank God there ought not never be no questionable attire worn in the God
sanctuary that would cause men to lust and live in a mind of lust. Can you understand and know that men tonight do have lust in them like ladies have lust in them, but men are moved by what they see, and when a church give theirself to any dress attire that they want to wear, they are giving theirself unto lust, and that's what happens, friend. You can't live, thank God, in that kind of way and think you got to worship God. You're going to have to come with your heart right with God, amen, and have the right clothes on to go be with God, amen. That's right. You know, in Genesis 35, you know what they had to change their garments. Now, I believe in my own heart that these people had some things on that represented the world. And it ain't right for God's people to represent the world. They ought to be different than the world. Let me just say tonight, and I'm going to preach whatever comes to my heart. But let me say this tonight, that them churches that say it don't matter what you wear, they're lying, friend. God says it does matter, and that's why He put some instruction in the book. I'm telling you, people say, well, Brother Hyatt, the lost people, I understand that. We don't... Amen, my friend. Have any say so over lost people? Amen, unless they're trying to disrupt the service. But I will say this, if you say tonight, thank God you ought to, amen, bear a modest apparel. That's right. And men the same. I'll tell you, in a day, friend, that's the same sex stuff. It's unisex movement. That's all it was right there. As they're running around naked and drinking. And my friend, listen to music playing. That's popular stuff of the day of the flesh. And trying to please the flesh. And there ain't no Holy Ghost in it. I'm telling you, God won't dwell. Where's a bunch of sin and a bunch of wickedness. And I'm telling you, it's a sad day when people want to bring up, thank God, my friend, a shoulder to self instead of the God of heaven glorifying Him. Hey, God wants me to glorify Him, and this crowd here, they forgot God. They made Him a golden calf. They took off their clothes. Hey, my friend, thank God they started drinking and offering sacrifice and offering to a false God. And Moses, thank God, my friend, come down because God got mad at what they done. Amen. That's right, isn't it? Amen. Now, I want to tell you tonight, I want to make this statement too. It's because you wear the right clothes don't mean you're righteous. Don't bring no righteousness to you. It just bears that if you dress right, at least you're modest, and you ought to be. And everything ought to be for the glory of God. Amen. All ought to be for the glory of God. Everything, anything done ought to glorify God. It ain't about me, and it ain't about you. But I tell you, there is something in this. Amen. They say, we don't really care how you come. Well, I tell you, if you're going to have a church, thank God, you need to have some reverence for it. And reverence for the house of God. This ain't a play place. Thank God, this is the house of God. You ought to teach your children, this is the house of God. Well, I was raised in a Methodist church. Well, my mama, thank God, said, you sit here and you listen to what I say. I tell you, I wouldn't have done some things. And I've seen Baptist church people do. Well, they got my back end whooped when I got home because they taught me that you're to behave. Well, that just wasn't at the house of God. It was out my friend the house. Well, I tell you, they were, thank God, the rod on my back end. Thank God, it delivered my soul from hell. I'm telling you, in this hour, thank God, we're living in an unruly day where children's got so unruly that they don't have no authority over them. I tell they need that this hour. Thank God we ought to love them enough. Thank God to use a rod on their seed. Amen. That's right. Thank God. I like it. You say, preacher, you preach it a lot. I'm trying to get it to you. God's giving it to me. I'm trying to give it to you. Amen. It ain't hate to use a rod. It's love. That's right. Thank God. Now I know some people do it the wrong way. And it can provoke your children to wrath. I'm telling you that. If you mistreat your children in a way that they don't, my friend, know that you're doing it because you love them, you can provoke them the other way. I've seen that happen too. Amen. But I'm telling you, there's a Bible I'm preaching from. Thank God. And I tell you, I'd take it up with God. But I'm telling you, I'd take it up with Him. But I'm just saying, in this day and hour, praise God, you know, parents don't want no responsibility. Boys talking about this bus stuff, how they, my friend, they heard somebody throwing stuff and ticking and all that. I said, you know, at one time, thank God, the principal called my mama and my daddy and said, you know, we got joy down here in the office. Thank God, that'd be a bad thing. Because they wouldn't say, that's your fault. They'd say, that's all right. We'll take care of it. If he does it again, I'll tell you, it won't happen again. I tell you, we need some daddies in this day. Thank God, to leave their homes and say, this is what God says. We got too many henpecked men. Thank God, they're scared of mama. That ought to get a backbone tonight. Thank God, in their heart and home. And say, God said this. And we got to go with God. Thank God. Instead of being scared of what everybody else thinks. Amen. Boys, that's good preaching if I'm doing it.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Thank God. That's right. Praise God. Amen. There used to be some men that had some backbone.
Right.
That's right. They don't have one. Old Brother Matthias said he'd about pay for x-ray in his men to make sure they had one. Amen. That's right. But there's a lot of men don't have no backbone no more. And you know what? It's what mama thinks or what my wife thinks. Ain't God. God put you ahead of the house. He didn't put your wife ahead of the house. But you know, I don't blame the women as much in this scripture. I said all of Israel bought them earrings. I brought them out of Egypt. And I blame the men. Tonight, thank God. You know what men need to do tonight? They need to get on the altar and repent toward God and say, Lord, I hadn't been the man. I hadn't been leading the home spiritually. I hadn't been a man, thank God, run the house the way God told me to. Women need to get on the altar and repent. Thank God, being bossy to your husband. Thank God, my friend, trying to tell them what to do instead of being in subjection to the head God gave you. I tell you want to get right with God, you got to be in a position to get right with God. I tell the way of a transgressor's heart, and that's why things hard today, because we're out of order. I tell if we got back in order, hey, we could have all time meeting, but we out of order, and everything's become hard in this day. Right. Amen. Even lost people used to have some convictions about them.
Right.
Thank God mom and daddy stayed together. They didn't part every time because my friend, the ripple of the water got a little bit rough. That's right. They said, we'll stay together, raise our children, do the best we can. Thank God daddy wore the pants, mama wore the dress. Amen. Thank God she cooked the meals. Daddy went out and made the money. Amen, preacher. That's right. That's just the way it was. We brought the judgment on our own self because we've done it contrary to the way God set it up. And my friend, it is a struggle. It's a struggle anyway. But when you don't do it God's way, it becomes more of a struggle. Amen. That's right. God help us all. And I said us. I've got me in there. U.S. Us. That's right. Here they are dancing around the calf. God help us. Moses is on the mount with God. Boy, I thought today, and I told God, I'm so sorry for not being on the mountain with you the way I ought to be.
Right.
Boys, we down at the bottom of the mountain too much, Brother Keith, with the rest of that crowd. Amen. Dancing around the calf. Instead of standing on that mountain and saying, I got to go get something for my house. I got to get something for the house of God. I got to get something for my own heart. And whatever it takes to stay on the mount with God and get some things from God, thank God that's the way it ought to be.
Right.
Amen. And here Moses is up on the mountain talking to God, getting the commands of God. The rest of that crowd down there is witting all kind of lascivious living. God looks down, sees them, tells Moses. And then Moses intercedes on their behalf for that crowd that he loved. Thank God for the intercessory work. of the people of God tonight, the man of God, and mostly the Son of God. He's prayed for us that we might be right with Him. Amen. And then God repents of that thought of destroying that crowd, and Moses goes down, he takes the tablets in his hand, and he throws them down and breaks them. And he grinds that calf up in the powder and makes them drink it. He puts it in water and made them drink their idol. That's right. They had to swallow them. Amen. Some things are hard to swallow. But I'll tell you, thank God, you wouldn't want Moses for a pastor. Neither would I. Amen. It'd be hard to swallow some of the things he said. But I'll tell you what, he was a meek man. He loved God. But he made them drink it. Amen. I tell you, he had some anger about him. And Roloff said, he wouldn't give you a dime for a preacher that couldn't get mad once in a while. I'd say amen to that. Not talking about a fleshly anger, but a godly anger. Amen. A godly way about it. The Bible does say, be ye angry and sin not. Neither let the sun go down upon your wrath. And it would be right tonight, thank God, to have a godly anger. Amen. I mean, God's got an anger. God, my friend, got mad too. He got angry. Like people said, he got mad. Well, God did too about some things. I tell you, God's not... Everybody portrays God that he don't never get mad, don't never judge nobody, never put anybody in the hell. No, my friend, that he loves just anybody can do anything they want to. That's not the God of the Bible. That's the God they've made in this world. Amen. Right. That's right. In fact, the Bible said in Psalms, he's angry with the wicked every day. That's what the book says. God help us. Amen. God's angry with the wicked every day. He don't... Hey, friend, can I tell you this? If God didn't have compassion and love, He'd have done put us all into hell. That's right. And I deserve to be the first one thrown there in this congregation. I ought to have been put there a long time ago if it hadn't been for the love of God and the mercies of God Almighty on my soul. And I tell you, the man of God got to praying. You know what Moses said? He said, I'd be willing to be blotted out for live. Thank God there was one on the man that said that. That was Paul. He said, I'd just be willing to be a curse for my kinsmen according to the flesh. He said, I'd go to hell if you'd save all them Jews. Hey, man, that's what the man of God Paul said. That's pretty good, ain't it? That's a whole lot better than us. We don't even go out and tell people. We don't even have a prayer line for people. This man said he'd go burn in hell and his old kinsmen could be saved. Amen. Amen. Moses said, God, I'll take the punishment for him. That's what he said. Yeah. Moses threw them tablets down. He took that calf, he ground it up in the powder and made them drink it. And then verse 21, he said, you've sinned a great sin, fellas. You know, nothing's sin no more. That's why churches don't have no power. They don't have no savor in the salt. And then nothing, no sin no more. You can fornicate and live outside the marriage bed, and everybody pats you on the back and say, you're the best person that ever lived. I'm going to tell you what, friend. We ought to have compassion, but the church ought to have enough stand to say, hey, that's sin. That's right. I mean, what's sin, friend? Thank God, what's happened to the church today is we've accepted everything that comes along. I'm talking about it don't matter what people do no more. God help us. God help us. He said, this is a great sin. I mean, any sin's a great sin against God. He said, this is a great sin because you've forsaken the God of heaven and turned unto idols. I'm telling you, did not Israel have a problem with that all the time? You know why he didn't want to marry them strange women? Because they took them into idolatry. You can't marry a Canaanite. Thank God they're a bunch of heathens. You can't go there and get a wife with a Canaanite. Boy, that old thing that people say, well, I'll change them after I marry them. But dear God, I ain't never seen nobody do it. God help us. That's wishful thinking. It ain't God thinking. I'll change them after I marry them. Well, you ain't never changed nobody anyway. You didn't even change yourself. How you going to change them? He said, don't go there and get a wife of them Canaanites. Hey, don't go there and a bunch of heathens. I tell you, God just had mercy on some. He said his affection on Ruth. He said his affection on Rahab. Thank God. But I'll tell you what, when he told Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, thank God, to go get a wife, he said, go to your people and get one. That's what he said.
That's right.
That's right, brother. Godly seed. People, you know why? Listen to me. Because these people believe the God
of the Hebrew. They believe in the God of the Hebrews. They believe in Jehovah God. They believe in the God of heaven. Don't go down there and marry somebody that believes in all these idols. They'll end up taking you into idolatry. That's what he's saying. Well, you telling me, Brother Redmond, you know this as good as I know. Every man knows this. Anything a man does, he's going to have effect on his wife of doing it too.
Right.
I mean, you just take this for what I'm saying. You boys here, you gonna get married one day. You just take what I'm saying. You better look at her spiritual condition more than anything. And then number two, you better look at the will of God. It ain't, listen, you might get them bug eyes at her, but I tell you, you better know in your heart what the will of God is. Brother Milby said there's a couple in his church wanting a date. He said, I called them aside and God told me to tell them, you take 90 days apart. I said, what happened? He said, they went apart. What meant?
Yeah.
Boys, I'm telling you tonight, you go marrying and hooking up with idols, and that's what Israel done. They got hooked up with idolatry. And that's why God warned Israel was back and forth all the time with that thing. I mean, it was idolatry. Then God judged them. They cry out to God. And God give them grace. And they come back to God. And then they're going back into the mess. That's amazing. Tonight, if it weren't for the grace of God, all of us would be apostates by midnight. I'm telling you, like Brother Mitchell said, we'd be stealing cows and cars before midnight had it not been the grace of God in our heart. I understand, know that. I know that's right. A man can't boast in nothing but the grace of God Almighty. But I'm telling you this tonight. Thank God when we step in the light that God's given us, we're walking in dangerous ground. Amen. God help us. He said it's a great sin. It's a great sin. Idolatry is one of the worst sins that they committed. I'm going to tell you another bad sin too that really speaks to my heart in these days is sorcery. That's what they did. See, Egypt was full of that stuff. You know that, Brother Joe. Yes, that's who Jannes and Jambres was. That's them Egyptian magicians. People get caught up in that witchcraft and luck and rolling dice and my friend, all this other mess and horoscopes and reading their future and all that. I'm telling you, I ain't a God. Isaiah said he'd come to stubbish. Come to nothing. Boy, I'm glad, thank God, I'm trusting nothing tonight. I ain't superstitious about one thing. Well, I don't care if a black cat, there are 15 of them running in front of me. Don't care if the mirror breaks, the ladder falls. It don't matter to me. I don't care. My God's in charge of me. I'm not in charge. Listen, friend, that's all the heathen gods do. It's all about works. It's all about some kind of superstition. That's why Paul said, you're just too superstitious, I'll tell you. There's a bunch of philosophers that had it was more fools than there was philosophers. That's where we at today. Boys, I'm telling you, if you can find one professor out of a thousand down at some college university that knows anything about God and the Bible, I tell you, you found somebody that I probably wouldn't be able to find because I'll tell you, most of them ain't nothing but a bunch of God-denying liberals that hate God, hate the Bible. Amen. You about put that down. Amen. Thank God, I tell you, there's a way to live from home. And Daniel and them Hebrews knew how to do it. They stood for God. It didn't matter what the king thought. I tell you, we can live for God. You said you think they can go in and live for God. If they want to, they can. Well, you can walk through whatever you need to and come out on the other side living for God. No matter where you're at, what you have to go through, I'm telling you. The first thing you need to see, is it in your heart? Then number two, is it in your home? Too many people tried to make the house of God and the schoolhouse a place to straighten you out and your children out.
Yeah.
Don't do it. A schoolhouse was never meant to straighten your home out or straighten your children out. Never was. I don't care what it is. I don't care what the title is of the school. It can never straighten you out nor your children out. The gospel preached can.
Yeah. Right.
That's why God told the daddy to do it. Amen. I had a boy tell me the other night. I was preaching up there at the detention center. and I was preaching and I was talking to him about God and them fellas. He got to crying. He called me over there, 27 years old. It's what he told me. I'm just telling you what the boy told me. He said, I've been on pot since I was 7 years old. I've never had a daddy to tell me one thing. I've done everything I wanted to in this life. And he said, I've been in and out of jail about all my life. And he said, preacher, I'm tired of it. I need to get out of this. And I said, it'll take the power of God. Right. He said, how do you get the power of God? I said, it's in Jesus Christ. That's all I can tell you. Thank God Christ can deliver you. It's by the power of God. But when you don't have an authority over you, you'll end up a rebel, I'm telling you.
Right.
Sometimes they can be a little rough. I want to encourage every daddy to stand firm, but do it with sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Sometimes I didn't think my daddy had much of it, but he did.
Oh, yeah. You learned how smart he was.
But it ain't going to hurt you every once in a while. Thank God for your day to look you in the eyeball and say, you ain't doing that, boy. He said, I'll tell you, this is my house and my rules, and you'll live here, you'll do it that my way.
Right. Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know what? It's amazing that children don't like that, but they still got a sign on McDonald's. Thank God you don't come here without a shirt, without your shoes. And if you go in there and act a fool, they're going to call the police on you. But your daddy tell you you got to do this way, and you get mad.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Ain't that right?
Yeah.
Just right. I mean, we need some men today. And here there's no men. Thank God they're going out of the way. My friend, they're not standing right. And we're looking here. And they've done with the way of idolatry. And there's a great sin upon Israel.
Yeah.
And then Moses come and question Aaron. I'm in greater judgment than you are tonight. And I'm handling the Word of God.
Yeah.
Every Sunday school teacher in here is in greater judgment. They handling the Word of God.
Yes,
Moses said, Aaron, and when Moses saw the people were naked, Aaron had made them naked under their shame among their enemies, Moses stood in the gate of the camp. Do you know what Aaron said? Do you ever read this thing? He said, what happened here, buddy? He said, the fire made it. He said, I just threw it in the fire and it came out like that. Just threw it in the fire and it came out like that. They. They. It's them.
Yeah.
I mean, I tell you, if my wife's a better woman, I'd be a better Christian. Get out of here with that.
Amen.
Well, if my husband was a better man, I'd be a better guy. When's anybody going to look at their old self and say, it's me?
Amen.
It's me. It ain't. Hey, God, Aaron all said, hey, Moses, that's all my fault. You put me in charge, and I let that go on. In fact, I asked for the golden earrings. I took a tool. I made a calf like it was in Egypt, and we worship the calf, and it's me that the sin ought to be on.
Yeah.
All right,
sir. Yeah.
And then Moses stood in the gate in the camp and said, who's on the Lord's side? Let him come to me. And Levi, the sons of Levi gathered themselves together in him, and God says, take your sword. This is what God said, and I know man wouldn't write this. He said, you take your sword, you go through the camp. And you sword everybody that's not for me. And I don't care if they're your brother or your companion or who they are, you do it.
Right.
Yep. Buddy, that's tight.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
That's what 29 says. Read it for yourself. I'm just paraphrasing it. You know what God's saying there? This side separates people. Separates you. This side separates. I got more union and communion with you tonight than I do a worldly family.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah.
It is so close, my friends, that Jesus even looked to a crowd one day and said, if you're going to follow me, let the dead bury their dead.
Right. Right. Yes, sir.
You go preach.
Right.
That's tough.
Amen.
That ain't forsaking your family. That's just saying he's above all.
Yeah. Right.
And the gospel is more important than your worldly business. And when you got, thank God, when you want to go check your ground out and prove your oxen, just remember you're going to miss the supper and you're going to go to hell.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you said, I married a wife and I cannot come, he said, you're missing out. And he said, I want you to take the sword to the camp. They went to the camp and 3,000 died that day. 3,000. 3,000. I won't say this and I'm through. The Lord's side is a separated side. It's separated. That's why it's a narrow way. It's separated. Every person is saved, separated unto Christ for the gospel's sake. If you don't want that, then you don't ever come to Him. Don't ever come to Him tonight. If you think this is an easy way and you want to get in this escape hell and not suffer for Him and not stand for Him, I tell you tonight, don't even try to come to Him, because when you come to Him, thank God you coming to Him and everything about Him. It's a separated side. They don't say this. It's the right side. It's the right side. I won't stand with them on the right side. Wasn't that man on the right side? He said, cast your net on the right side.
Yes, sir.
I want to be on the right side. And the only way you can be on the right side is to be on the Lord's side.
Yeah.
And the Lord's side, thank God, is the winning side.
Yes, sir.
When this thing's all over, friend, you better know who you're on His side.
Yeah.
And God's on yours. And I'll say this and them through. It's not only the separated side and this, the right side, but it's His side.
Yes.
It ain't my side.
Right.
It's His side. He didn't say who's on Moses' side. He said who's on the Lord's side.
Right.
Ain't that what He said?
Right.
And when I'm on His side and you're on His side, then we're on the same side. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to stand with them on His side. I'm not going to stand with the enemy.
No way.
By the grace of God.
Yeah.
Yes,
sir.
Mr. Peter did. You know he did.
Yeah.
He warmed his hands at the enemy's side. Hey, you're one of them. I heard you talk. I seen you with him. Oh, no, I know him not. But when Jesus looked at him, he went out and wept and said, Lord, I'm sorry. Every once in a while, we'll want to warm our hands on the wrong side. But I'm telling you what, if you're saved tonight, thank God you're not on that side.
Amen.
You're on the Lord's side.
Yeah.
And it is His side. Because He bought you with His own blood. And what He done, thank God, was by the grace of God for you. And when you get saved, you're on His side.
Right.
Then Moses said, who's on the Lord's side?
Yeah.
Sons of Levi came. They were on the Lord's side.
Amen.
I really believe we're coming down to that in this country.
Yeah.
I was sure glad the other week when they had that rally up there of the crowd of people that came. I really was. I was so thankful to see that many people to say we're standing on this side. Amen. And I wasn't ashamed a bit to stand on that porch. I wish every camera in the United States would have got it. I wish every reporter would come to me and said, what are you doing here for? I said, because of the glory of God. That's why.
Yeah.
What's right? Who gives a judge anyway any authority to make a ruling on something such as that? They don't have that authority.
Right.
We ain't got nothing but a bunch of liberal politicians and a bunch of liberal judges today, and they don't know nothing.
Right.
Who give the judge the right to legislate anything to the local church? There ain't nobody.
Right.
The state don't have no right to tell us about anything we do here.
Amen.
Right.
This is God's house and this God's way, and it ain't up to what Washington says or Raleigh or nobody else.
Amen.
Right.
Dear God, I like what Brother Roloff said. Hey, he said, thank God we ain't going to bow, and I'm not planning on bowing. Amen. I know laws are coming. I know it's going to be on who's on the Lord's side. If God will give us grace and help us, hey, God, we'll put foot in and say we're going to stand here. Come and get us. Amen.
Amen.
Who is on the Lord's side? Well, I'm glad Westside Baptist is claiming to be.
Amen.
That's right. Westside Baptist isn't in the building, neither is you.
No. That's right.
Amen. That's right. It's his side.
Amen.
Thank God. I want them, hey, who's going to, boys, I'm telling you, you got to take up something now. You boys here, I mean, we getting up in age a little bit. You take, if Jesus don't come in 30 years, somebody's got to be carrying it, son.
Amen.
I'll sit here and amen you if I can't holler no more. Preach. My health ain't got it. Praise God, somebody's got to do something. I know it's up to God calling you, but thank God, be in good position to get that call.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Some of you young ladies, thank God. You older women and you older men, the Bible says you're to be an example. You to teach them and how to live. They'd be able to look at you and say, thank God they're teaching me something in how they live and how wise they are. That's what gray hair means. It's wisdom. Both to me. That's why I got a little bit. I don't have a lot. I look at you gray haired men, I say, praise God. There's some wisdom ought to be in that gray hair. That's age. That's miles. A lot of trials. Thank God, there ain't no novice. Some people think they know everything, don't know nothing.
Amen.
I don't think I know much, and I don't. But I know Him.
Amen.
And I know whose side I'm on tonight.
Amen.
And I know this Bible is the inspired Word of God.
Amen.
I know it takes the blood of Christ to wash away sin.
Amen.
And I know you can't get saved unless the Holy Ghost draws you.
Right.
And I know, thank God, that God's pleased with that. In His own Son, He's not pleased with me, but He's pleased with Christ. And He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And thank God, if I'm in Christ, He's pleased with me. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. I know that's right.
Amen.
Who's on the Lord's side?
Amen.
Not just on Sunday, neither.
Right.
He sees me Monday.
That's right, brother. Amen. He sees us all. God help us to honor Him.
Yeah.
Boys,
yeah.
Why don't you can't have a good life? Amen. Just a good church services, praising God, and enjoying the old time way of God. Going home, thank God, my wife, enjoying her good company, praise God.
Yes.
Having your family, enjoying them, praise God. I mean, enjoying life, brother. Thank God, I'm telling you, whoso found the wife, found the good say, have kind of favor of the Lord.
Yeah.
One day we're going to the graveyard, Jesus don't come.
Well,
ain't that right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, I still have to talk to myself, Brother Redmond. You have to do is say, you just don't, this here ain't that important to you.
Yeah.
Amen.
I just have to keep telling myself that because them old things just keep popping up trying to get me away.
Sure do.
I need prayer, friend. Some things will hinder you on the Lord, trying to get to the Lord's side. And then when you get over there, there's always somebody say, come with us.
Yeah.
You don't have to be over there.
Yeah.
You don't have to be at that crowd. Thank God I can't. Peter said, whom shall we go? There ain't nowhere else to go.
Right.
Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we're sure thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Yeah.
Amen. I believe in perseverance because of the preservation of the Spirit. Because God lives in us only because of that.
Yeah.
We will finish. We are saved to the uttermost.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand tonight.